year-round. That means that our prayer group on Monday will be taking a little break. We'll take a little time out for those 2 weeks, just due to scheduling conflicts on other ends as well. But that is that. The two speakers that we have, one is Pastor Chad coming from Stettler Alliance Church. He's going to be preaching on 2 Kings chapter 5, a story about King Naman.
Praying that you guys are having a great day so far.
Please come out and support him. It'll be good to hear what he has to say.
It's a beautiful day today.
He's got a little bit of a hike. I believe he's going to be staying at our house. Frost on the ground. And it looks
a good time.
Second speaker will be Pastor Tiffany. She used to be at Stony Point Alliance Church. She's just taking some time away from ministry.
Let's continue with our story, right, kid?
Let's speak for us.
Get into this. This one's called The Dark Night in the Garden.
So they're excited to bring the word for us.
Mark 14 and John 18.
Come and share that with us.
And then hopefully I remember to dismiss
you about any of that. Feel free to
text me or call me. I know I'm on vacation,
the wind was
picking
up now.
Things go awry.
Blowing clouds across the moon,
shrouding
the garden in darkness.
Feel free to call me.
Stay up with
me.
With Jesus asked his friends.
Responding.
They said yes and waited under the olive trees.
They were tired.
Not to love
and soon they fell asleep.
Jesus walked ahead alone into the dark.
So I've already extended
he needed to talk to his heavenly Father.
Through a hard time
he knew it was time for him to die. They had planned it long ago, he and his Father. Anyways, Jesus was going to take the punishment for all the
I'm
wrong
I'm going to start reading our lovely story
had
here.
Ever done,
and this one is called The Sun Stops Shining.
Papa.
It comes from Matthew 27,
Father,
Mark 15.
Jesus cried.
Luke 23
and he fell to
John,
the ground. Is there any other way to get your children back, to heal their hearts, to
king.
Get rid of the poison?
Are you? The Roman soldiers
Jesus
jeered.
Knew.
Then you'll need a
there
crown
no
and
way.
A robe.
All the poison of
Jesus
sin was going to have to go
thorns,
into his own heart.
And put a
God was going to pour into
him,
Jesus' heart all the sadness and brokenness in
your
people's
majesty,
hearts. He was going to pour into Jesus'
said.
Body all the sickness in people's bodies. God was going
him.
To have to blame his son
they
for
didn't understand
everything
that this was the Prince of Life,
the King of heaven and earth who had come to rescue
Jesus.
Them. The soldiers made him a sign,
but there was
our
else.
King, and nailed
something
him to a wooden
even
cross.
Horrible.
When
they
people
walked
ran
up a hill
away
outside
from God,
the city.
They lost God.
Jesus carried the cross on
what
his back.
What happened when they ran away?
Jesus had never done anything
not
wrong.
Not being close to
but
God
they were going
was like
to kill
a punishment.
The way,
Jesus
the way
was
criminals
going to
were
take
killed.
That punishment.
They nailed
Jesus
knew
to the
what
cross.
That meant.
He was going to lose his
Father.
And that,
forgive
Jesus
them.
Knew,
Jesus
break
gasped.
His heart. In
they
him.
Don't understand what they're doing.
Violent sobs.
You say you've
Jesus
come to rescue us, people shouted. But you can't even rescue yourself.
But they were wrong.
I trust you.
Jesus could have rescued himself.
Said,
a legion of angels would have flown
say,
to his side if he had called.
I will do.
If you were really the Son of God,
suddenly
you could just
the
climb
trees,
down
a
off that
of starlight
cross, flashed off
they
steel
said.
Into the quiet
yeah,
garden came
right.
Whispers, muffled voices,
Jesus
could have
just
metal,
climbed down.
And the
actually,
sound
he
of could have
just
marching.
Said a word and made it all
Jesus
stop.
Stood up.
Like when
he
healed that little
friends.
Girl and stilled the storm and fed 5,000 people.
Everything that was written about me, what God has been telling his people
you see, they didn't understand. It wasn't the nails that kept Jesus there, it was love.
And into the night, with burning torches
Papa.
And lanterns, with swords
Jesus
and clubs and armor,
searching
they
the
came.
Sky.
Papa, where are you? Don't leave me.
Judas led them
and for the first time,
so
and the last,
rest them.
When Jesus was waiting for them,
nothing happened.
Peter leapt up, took a sword, and tried to defend Jesus. He sliced off
silence.
A guard's ear.
Jesus
God immediately
answer.
Touched the guard and healed
he turned
him.
Away from his boy.
Peter, he said,
tears
this
rolled
is not
down
the
Jesus'
way.
Face.
Peter
the
didn't
one
realize
wipe
that
away
no army, no matter how
eye.
Big, could ever arrest
even
Jesus.
Even though it was midday,
not
a dreadful
Jesus
darkness covered the face of the world.
Then Jesus
the sun
never
could not
done
shine. The earth trembled and quaked.
Was
the great mountains shook.
As if he were a
rocks split in two
Jesus' friends
until it
were
seemed
afraid.
That the whole world would
so they
break.
Ran away and hid
the creation
in
the dark itself.
Shadow. The guards marched
apart.
Off and took him. To the leaders.
The full force of the storm of God's
Jesus
fierce
trial,
anger at sin
you the
was
son
coming
of God,
down
they
on his own son
I am.
Instead
Jesus
of his people.
Said,
who do you think
the
you
only
are
way
to call
God
yourself
could destroy
God? You must
sin
die
and not
for
calling yourself
children.
The son of God.
Whose hearts were filled
only
with
the
sin.
Romans were allowed
then
to
Jesus
kill
shouted
so
in a loud voice.
Made a plan.
It is finished.
He'll tell the Romans.
And it was.
This man wants to be our king.
He had done it.
And
Jesus had rescued
him.
The whole world. Father, Jesus cried, I
right.
give you my life. And with a great
God's
sigh,
plan.
He let himself
it
die.
It was for this reason that I was born into
strange
the world.
Clouds and shadows
Jesus
filled the
said.
Sky, purple, orange, black, like a bruise.
All right, kids.
Jesus' friends gently
have
carried
a good time.
Jesus
They laid Jesus in a new tomb carved out of rock.
Learn lots.
How could
have
Jesus
laughs.
Die?
You know, what try not to get wrong? Too much under the skin of
what
the Sunday school teachers.
They didn't know anything anymore, except they did know their hearts were breaking. That's the end of Jesus, the leaders said.
All right.
But
so,
just to be sure, they sent strong soldiers to guard the tomb. They hauled a huge stone in front of the door to the tomb so that no one could get in.
I won't be at the prayer time tomorrow. My grandma passed away on Wednesday. And so we're going to say goodbye to her tomorrow. So
friends, head off on
down
to your classes.
Coldale, have lots of fun. A lot of
do rowdy
things.
Love you guys.
Good times. They had 94 years old.
All right,
She did not have
listened
COVID
to Dad
anything,
speak, right?
Just, yeah. It was just her time. So she's with Jesus now. And I now have zero grandparents, and that's kind of stinky. That's not fun. But
all right. Anybody have any prayers or prayer items that we can pray for at this time?
Pray for our safe travels as we go.
Yes, Ron.
Anybody else have anything that they would care to bring forward at this time for praise, prayer for healing or something? Ooh. Yes, Rhonda.
Well, my brother's won an election.
Oh. Okay. Oh, he's kind of like a mayor in the Bonnyville area.
11 pounds of fluid removed from
lungs and
heart.
That's awesome.
That's unbelievable.
That's exciting.
We'll definitely continue. That's praiseworthy that she's starting to get better and such. And we'll continue to pray for her health.
So those online or on the radio listening right now, Rhonda's brother was just elected
absolutely
as some sort of mayoral
safe
type of person
safe
in the Bonnyville area.
For
so that is like
parents
that's pretty awesome. That's a praise thing.
And
also her cousin,
unfortunately,
pray is
that
in
they
the Camrose
good
Hospital
quickly
with degenerative heart issues. And so we're just praying for healing and doctors in that area.
All right.
Awesome. Well, let's bring this forward to our Creator and just be blessed by Jesus today. Father, we thank you so much for all that you continue to
fantastic
do for us. We just pray for your hand upon us as we come here to worship you.
That's at Camp Nachman,
on the radio,
correct?
Or even online.
That's exciting. So
praying
for
the youth
who are going to Camp Nachman
today
with the youth retreat.
We pray that you fill us every
that
day
is
and all
amazing
day and that we would seek you out.
We want to pray, obviously, for Tracy, who's going to be a little sleep deprived.
For Michelle and myself, it's traveling down south for a funeral, which is
those.
I
remember
for
those campouts with the youth,
and
they are
we can
quite the experience
my in a blessed way.
They really, if you can survive one, you are definitely called
to
be with the youth. So we're grateful to have you serving Tracy and doing the awesome work that you do with our
thank
youth
you for even for Rhonda's brother getting in.
All right,
well,
let's pray for this stuff, and
we know that can kind of be difficult, especially
thank God
for
all that
Christians
we continue
these days
to have.
And
Father,
we
uplift you and
awesome
we praise you,
that
and we pray that that is what our services are all about, that we continually bring
you
thanksgiving
in godly fashion.
Let our hearts just reflect
that.
Let
our
faces and mouths
at this point in time
be filled with joy.
Any leadership position,
your joy,
newly
fill
elected
us with your Holy Spirit.
Appointed, and so we just pray for him. We pray.
We
want
to pray for the many good things that
pray for strength,
you continue to provide us, and
lead
some of it's answered
and
prayer, and that is delightful.
You.
Is
and we also want to pray for Rhonda's cousin.
Some
health complications, but obviously there's. Doctors
some
will be given wisdom,
there
but even more
and
so
we thank
than
you
that,
for
that your
we thank you for the
heart,
11
and
pounds
you would,
of fluid
that was removed from her heart
that
and lung
was causing
area
problems,
and
that,
so
she's able to breathe a
Father,
little better.
Father, we just put her into your hands.
We pray that she doesn't have days
that,
like Wednesday where they're kind of
your will would be
not
done
great, but instead
Jesus,
ones that are filled with your healing touch.
Amen,
Father. continue to bless you.
All right,
you.
So we're going to be continuing in Genesis today, and that means that we get to read.
Pray for our
youth. Well, not a super amount
the passion
of passion and excitement
that they bring.
And we're actually going to advance
to
a
awesome
different
to hear the 12
that,
that
meets Abram on the hill. And it's kind of funny to see the contrast
time
that
these
where
two
everything was just kind of
meet
up nicely.
These youth need to
so I'm going
to
be reading from Genesis chapter 14, starting in verse 21.
There
and we're going to complete this section.
Fellow believers,
we'll never have
some
to
that
kind of
aren't going to be believers.
We'll probably
pray
use
that
you're
present
there,
Father, and that
it gets complicated
hold
to say
them
with mighty arms.
Remind
them
exciting.
Of how loved they truly are. In verse 21, it says, the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom with raised hand, I've sworn an oath to the Lord. God Most High, Creator
Garrett
of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share.
Thank you for opportunities like that. Jesus, we pray this.
So, like I said, today we read of Abram being approached by the king of Sodom. His name's Bera. And this occurred
so we're
gonna be pretty much after the Melchizedek meeting, who's the king
Reign,
of Salem.
Genesis 15. This
and
is post
it's kind of interesting to see how this dynamic plays out. Because remember, Abram just had this great victory over the eastern kings.
Again,
he kind of wiped the floor with them.
Our military and our
so these two kings approach. One being the king of Salem, and if you recall, Salem means peace.
In the many battles
and the other is the king of Sodom.
Waged in order to keep
and
our
Sodom
freedoms.
Has no fantastic
and
specific
so very
meaning,
grateful for that.
But it usually stands
and
for
they have
depravity.
Served us well, so I continue to pray for
this is what Sodom was commonly understood for at the time.
11th, we can all take a moment
Salem,
of
course, is peace, and it's
service.
One of God's gift to
and
us.
It's like that.
His created
this
thing.
Is,
it's a gift for us. But then there's Sodom.
Abram,
and
it's not
the
too
Oxford
far
English Dictionary
after
defines
occurred,
it as an extremely wicked verse one
place.
Of chapter 15
not
says this.
There
after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram
about
of Sodom. Do not be afraid, Abram.
Is a little
I am
Sodom,
your shield. Many voices are
your
daily
very
practices
great
ever known
reward
in the great one. So there's quite this contrast of so
Abram,
he's lived this
before
quite
Abram,
remarkable life if you think about it from. What we've read in
Melchizedek,
Genesis
of course,
so far. The king of
and
Salem
came
throughout, to Abram
we've
God's
actually read
name,
of how
and
God
then he
has
would
worked
bless
for
Abram.
The benefit of Abram.
Bera, on
God
the other
started,
hand, started this whole activity
king.
Out by placing
he was the
a
king
call
of Sodom,
on Abram's
and
life.
And
he now emerges
and
from the tar
God
pit
called
upon
Abram
which he
to this
fallen,
new life.
And he approaches
Abraham
in
just
these hopes of reacquiring as much as he possibly could from the spoils of war. Because he lost everything. In those battles with the Eastern kings.
This call and blessing
right,
thing, they really
all
go
the
hand
All the stuff
in
that
hand.
He had acquired, all the power, and
it all would demonstrate
wealth,
God's
it was all gone.
And
even
in the trials and the problematic
Abram,
situations
because that's how the spoils of war works.
That Abram would see in his life.
But Abram shows us that in Genesis 14,
out of it all, we
that
see
he is
that
absolutely
God's
drawn to one
is,
of the kings.
Demonstrates the power.
Which is Melchizedek.
That God
and
had.
Then he shuns the other king
once again,
as he
Genesis
shuns
15,
King
one
Bera.
Says, after this, the word of the
just
Lord
think of
came
this moment and how Abram handles
do not
it.
Not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield,
king,
your very great reward.
The one king is the king of righteousness.
God has
the
power
peace,
to protect his
and
own.
And Abram immediately
no matter what
ties
the
to that king. He gives him a tenth. So our
everything.
Text it begins with two very simple
and
words. It is the
be
words
quite amazing.
After
that's telling
this.
You one thing
we're reading
this
in light of
about
what has really gone
and then
on
this
before.
King Melchizedek,
this promise
he
it's coming
Abram,
immediately after the wars that had just occurred. And God's promise to Abram,
I hope that you guys do
and
it to one another too. But we bless
specifics
one another,
of this promise relate to the battle of the four kings
found in Genesis 14.
And so Melchizedek, now I haven't really gone into great detail of that battle and that,
title
what Abram really found himself in. So
given.
Here's just a little bit of the detail
but look at how
behind
Abram
that.
Responds
Abram and Lot, remember
King
they had just
Bera,
separated. There was
we
kind of this weird family dynamic that occurred there. The herdsmen
says,
were battling
with
Abram
each other.
But Abram said to the king of Sodom with raised hand, I've sworn an oath to the Lord God Most High.
And it just
Creator of heaven and earth that I will accept nothing belonging to you.
Both
not even
men.
They had
or the
great
strap
wealth
of
and they had great size.
So that you will never be able to say, I made Abram
such.
Rich.
So they
I won't
just
nothing.
But what
and
my
Lot,
man,
he departed for that
high-appealing
area. Remember, he was the one that was given the selection by Abram.
And Lot's like, I want that
one.
It looks super green over there.
And
it
how he
fantastic.
Treated these two
and
royals.
And so he chose the area in Sodom.
And so I just want to take a little time as to figure out why.
And
it's not the place of God's
blessing. As we do
blessing,
this, we need
it?
To remember that
that's the
there
area.
Is the king of Sodom. The area of
king
blessing
Bera
is the king
Abram's
of Sodom.
Called to.
So Lot, he begins in this area
of reflection,
shall you say,
not
of
so
what the promised
world
area.
Stands
and
for.
He begins experiencing discomforts and problems
really
throughout his time
and it's
as
still
he's there.
True, even today, after being written long
well, even
ago.
In Sodom, four
this
kings
king.
From Mesopotamia began to raid the eastern edge
king
of Canaan.
Bera, who had
they would get bolder and bolder
everything.
In their attacks. Until it turned into a full-blown war.
Lost all
and the four kings of Mesopotamia attacked
kings.
Sodom and the nearby cities.
Eastern kings just
these four kings easily routed Sodom
kings
and its allies.
In the area, and they really
Sodom was overrun.
And his allies.
And poor nephew Lot.
But
and
those
his family,
same
along
eastern
with all
kings,
their
they had just lost
had been
Abram
captured
and his 300-plus guys.
Kings.
So all of those supposed lost possessions and territories, they technically belonged to Abram at this time. But to the victor goes the spoils.
He,
I believe, is the
comes
same.
To the rescue.
So Bera,
Genesis chapter 14,
verses
14
to
16
says,
when
Abram
he heard
wants his
that his relative
back.
Had been taken captive,
right, because
he called
power,
out the 318 trained men born
and
in his
so he's
household,
willing to compromise
and
to get as much back as he possibly could.
During the night, Abram divided his men to attack
the
them, and he routed
the
them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his
let's
relative Lot
at,
and his possessions, together with the women and the other people.
This is the surface area that we can approach this, but we
want to
go deeper here because there's heavy implications behind what Bera is asking in
but
this
Abram,
for some
he
of
had
us
this
really
great victory.
Shock, right?
Where we're like, wow,
and you
would
think it's one of those
moments,
right?
I mean,
you won in battle, so it's time
anyways.
To puff out your chest.
Why would you really
and
give up?
Think on how great your accomplishments
that
are,
kind
right?
Of,
only
power.
This isn't
why would you
what
give
the
up
case
power
really is,
in any
is
way
it?
Whatsoever.
Yes, Abram had easily won, but think of
moment.
What he just did as he attacked four kings.
Because if
these kings were responsible for laying waste to a large mass
which is
of land,
fantastic.
And they had won in their
not
great
just
conquest,
that, but
of
also
the kings
he would
the
come
plains.
Across as
and
this
they had just obtained this great wealth in their
the spoils of war
to
from
their
Sodom
king.
And its allies,
right? Because most people enjoy
Abram,
their kings.
I
most likely an unknown factor
king
before,
Bera,
has now put himself on the map
being.
To these four kings.
But they probably enjoyed it
only,
and
they probably
would
have sung praises about Abram. For having been this astounding warrior who generously gave up
this
city of Sodom and gave it back to the king.
Who was situated at
in
a distance
fashion,
while
keeping
this far away from the
raiding
that was occurring. And
then he doesn't have to
deal
with
kind
of
crazy people because people can kind of do that,
has
right?
Now prevented
especially in leadership
kings.
Deal with people and their ideas and stuff like that.
In new
so he gets to avoid all that, but he gets all the wealth and he gets
Abram
the praise on top of it.
By these kings.
He'd have this great reputation. He'd have great wealth in
the
land of Canaan.
So
we have
Abram,
this potential offer being extended to Abram, and it's
of
one
any sort
of retaliation. He had to know the danger he had put himself in.
He doesn't want that.
Abram, he had
for
attacked
sure,
with just a small force, 318 men. And he easily won
all,
that. Then he
the
recovered this
for,
great
it,
wealth.
Not?
I can't imagine
the king
any king
of Sodom,
or anybody
he must definitely
for that matter.
This way.
So
he
would assume
that
not
Abram
be seeking
would respond
out some sort
in a like
revenge
fashion
or retribution.
And he would absolutely take this deal.
I mean, from my own perspective, when
Abram
I think about
not.
Revenge and retribution,
Abram would actually
I think
see
of a hawk
Bera's
attack
offer
that occurred over
nothing.
10 years ago, and
what
I still
temptation.
Want every bird wiped out
in
of Bera's
existence.
Offer, Abram was able to see that Bera was attempting to
but this
gain
once
glory
insignificant
himself,
speck in Abram, he had made himself public enemy number
this
one
king.
Of these kings.
He's
and
bold.
Abram was most likely worried
he's
about the consequences
of the success of Abram.
And Abram
all he wanted to do
victories. Was to save his
such
nephew
a different
Lot,
reaction
than
that
captured.
Of King Melchizedek, isn't it?
God knew
we
that
have
Abram
this,
was feeling.
We have this one response towards
so
one
God
of the kings.
Abram
where immediately upon seeing the king, Abram's
exactly
like, "I'm going to give you a tenth of my wealth."
What Abram needed to hear in that moment.
Do not be afraid, Abram. I am
like,
your shield,
you
your
anything,
very
and
great
in fact,
reward.
You can't give anything to me.
God said. That's unbelievable.
So today I want you to know, I want all of us to understand
he saw
that
Bera was
that
trying
God
to gain this glory
And what that would mean is that Abram would have given God's glory to this ruthless and petty king.
This is Abram trusting God to be his shield, to bear his terms.
We too need to trust that
if Abram had kept the goods of Sodom and the other cities of the plain,
then he would
never be able to say that his sole dependence and his sole source of blessing
able to trust was God.
With all that
A.C. Leupold writes, Abram desires to stand out clearly as a man who prospers only because of God's blessings. Hitherto, the status of his had been unmistakably clear.
Some trust the government,
Abram had
some
never
trust
sought
their wealth,
nor resorted to questionable methods of getting it, nor had anyone contributed to
ultimately,
his wealth.
Ultimately, they all lead
the acceptance
to
of the gift
though,
would have impugned Abram's spiritual standing. Consequently, Abram summarily rejects the proposal. Abram knew that God takes care of his created. God takes care of his servants. Imagine having faith like that, understanding that God
right now
is going to take care of
you. It's kind of weird as we were driving back from my grandma's funeral.
It's not some corrupt king, not some corrupt politician that is going to take care of Abram
and company.
It's just like, how are we at that place in this world? Even though everything is so broken and our trust is so broken.
Warfare.
If the world can claim part of the success of a Christian's life,
we need to remember, though, that the true and real shield,
it's God. And we have to trust in him as our shield. And I really want us to look at how God is our shield. And
however, if the glory is all given to God,
it's exactly what Abraham did, then God is truly honored. And the witness to him will be sharp and piercing.
He's going
to
shield us from our enemies.
Our great example in this is none other than King David. As David knew that God was his shield, as God protected David from his enemies. King David, he had many enemies. After all, we're talking about the leader of a nation who had great wealth, and not only that, he brought the nation of Israel together. He kind of welded them together.
Abram
so you can imagine that he had quite the crew who wanted him dead.
He desired
David was threatened by hostile
God
nations
the glory
which
above
surrounded
everything.
Israel. He's threatened by old friends, by a former king. He
probably
had factions that were within his own government. And worse than all of
think
that, he had rebels in his immediate family.
King Bera.
His own
he
son,
being
success,
one of
reputation.
Them his own son
it's almost
him
anything that any real
this
person
is not
can
simply,
desire.
We don't like your
it's
style
of the temptations
leading
we face
type of hostility.
Quite commonly.
This is a we want you dead
someone came
type
up, offered
of
us $1 million, no question asked. We're
that David was facing
that. But David, he still knew the protective
power of God. In
fact, as we look at 2 Samuel chapter
22,
bears off,
verse 2 to 3,
and
it says
what
this,
he said, the Lord is my rock.
Amazing to see
my fortress and my deliverer.
Is.
My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold and my refuge and my savior from violent people.
All
you
want
to you about being able to carry out the same act that Abram did.
God will
we could
be
say
your
it in our minds and in our hearts.
Against
to be
your
like,
enemies.
Oh, yeah, I could totally do what
and
Abram
in saying
did.
That, I understand
I
that we don't have these defined
fame
enemies
I
like
could reject
David
success,
had.
No problem.
At least I don't believe any of you have a son
God
that's looking to kill you or usurp your power.
That's pretty tough.
Nor have I heard of anyone trying to assassinate anyone here. Our enemies, they tend to appear
when we do this
turn down
successes and just the admiration
of those
around him. According
God's
to the world
to
and how they would have perceived
as a dynamic witness
down
will
this reputation
lead
as well.
To some form of hostility.
Abram, he separates himself
after
from
all,
these
Jesus
worldly kings, from the king
bearers,
as he rejects
the incarnation,
the offer that was
hard
extended
hearts occur
to him.
As you witness,
I like
so
to picture this
hearts
all in my mind,
and
of how
regardless
down
of the status
as,
of someone's heart,
King God
King
is our
Bera
shield throughout the process.
Kind of, he's that guy to the side of watching Melchizedek and Abram.
Because in
kind
Christianity
of
today,
thing,
they released
and
an article called
this
"Evangelism
he's
Not a Priority in
Abram
Canadian
Churches,"
hand over
where
it stated that
65%
of
the
church
leaders
to
felt
Melchizedek,
evangelism
is not a top priority for
congregations. He's making those polite faces of the awkward
guy that's
mind blowing.
65% of the churches aren't even carrying
and
out the Great Commission.
He's nodding as they're uplifting
and
praising God in that moment
feel
together.
Ill-equipped
and he's
to share their
faith.
All. Then he sees Melchizedek and Melchizedek blesses Abram
the
and then Abram
up
front and not
like
equipping
say,
the people.
To the,
so I
to
have to
king
look at that and be like, am I
and
equipping
just
you guys for any sort of evangelism
by
or
their
or
actions
at this point in time?
Even though he's standing there witnessing all this,
probably something
which
we
is
need
like
to work on
nodding,
that I need to work
but
on.
But the thing that's in his eyes
to
is
get
probably
these
wide
saucer
types
eyes. Is he's just
light salivating over the spoils of war. He's salivating over the potential of what he could
evangelism
into this picture of Billy Graham,
whether it's reputation, power,
or wealth. He's just standing there waiting, and people watching another king receive a tenth for doing nothing.
Like, yeah, I'm giving my heart to the Lord, and that was amazing.
And evangelism isn't shaking like a child at Christmas.
And
wakes
his
being a friend who loves
his mind
with grace and love
and waiting what
and
to say to this
where
generous
like you're different. I need to understand why, and you're like, it's got to
be amazing, right?
There's
it's
wealth
Jesus.
And reputation to be had,
so
and those
work
are
on
the only desires of King
getting
Bera.
To this place of being this grace filled love community that easily
Abraham,
can just communicate Jesus to someone else.
As Abraham knew
and
God
is our shield as we do this, and He will
God
shield us from the enemies. Which guess what?
Else.
We're going to have people that say that's a stupid
now,
idea.
A quick history lesson for
following
me.
God is dumb.
Maybe some of you know this.
We're going to have people that are like,
that's okay.
You spoke to me
in 1646 and 1647. There was a meeting between the Church of Scotland and the Church of England, and these theologians really gathered together to kind of
and then
unify or help you.
God
also
promises
that
it's
by bringing about a
similar
understanding
Satan.
To doctrine and stuff like that.
Maybe some of us aren't even worried
really
about kind of
highlight
this,
the things that are most
be.
Important for the church.
But in 1 Peter 5:8, we're informed of our adversary, the devil, as he prowls around looking to devour. It says,
forward.
Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy,
one?
The devil, prowls around
question?
Like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
Of man.
This isn't a game.
I wonder what our response is
out there to devour.
What is
the James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
This is what they
there's deliverance in God.
These two verses are best illustrated in the life of Job
as we read of the occurrences in his life, and it was kind of a miserable one. Spoiler alert. We're told that Job, he was a righteous man who was attacked by the opposer.
Did you catch that one?
Satan.
What is the chief end of man?
Now, that sounds strange,
I know,
but
God
that
shielded
Job's
chief end is
even though he was attacked
God
by Satan.
And
Job lost sons
forever.
And daughters. Absolutely heartbreaking.
Now, when we look
and
at
he
this,
lost flocks,
Abram obviously
donkeys.
Didn't have this catechism.
Not as bad as his sons and daughters.
He didn't attend a catechism class.
Job never
and understand
yielded to Satan
that the
this.
Chief end of man is to
God
glorify
had placed
God
a hedge of protection
forever.
Around Job.
But
so
Abram
Satan could do nothing
exactly
to Job until God had permitted the hedge to lower.
Because he is there, he's glorified
of
God,
Job's character
and
remains.
God
that
knew that this
God
righteous man, Job, would
forever
triumph over the opposer in his scheming.
So
no
Abram
matter how much
pushback,
he knew that accepting the offer of King Bera would
and I want us to look at the big picture here is the
from
story.
God's honor.
It starts off with the
and
opposer,
so that,
Satan,
concluded,
and
he
his
should have
demons
none
as they present
the
themselves before the Lord.
Literally none.
And when they do this,
he gave up a crazy
God, he
of
calls attention to a righteous man.
Boy,
he gave up a
comfortable wish that would happen
living
up in the heavenly realms. It's like, here's
all
righteous
to
man,
bring
and
glory
God can point to me. I,
to
I
God
pray that I'm that guy. But he points
chief
this righteous man named Job in Job 1:8.
That
it
was
says,
how
then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant
Abel.
Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is
honest,
blameless and upright, a
it
man who fears God and shuns
too
evil. And the opposer, of course, he notes that Job certainly was a godly man, but the opposer,
similar to what
he also
with Abram,
points out that there are
by
obvious
way of
reasons for Job
Ezra
being this way.
Hi, Ezra, how's it going over
Satan
there?
Couldn't see Job's
heart. Oh, you're awake.
But God could.
Good, you're paying attention. I
so
like
Satan,
that
he had concluded
anyways,
that, he,
I like
that Job
name, Ezra,
only worshipped God
Ezra's
for what he could get out of it.
Pleasant.
He was thinking
and
that
and
God had prospered Job,
helper,
so this
helper
is the only reason
and it's full
for Job to worship
it's
God.
It's actually spelled quite awkwardly, but it's
and I hope
Ryu,
this is never our attitude
God
to worship
helps
for our Creator.
Or God protects.
This whole worship thing is not based off the advantages that we have in life, nor was it for Job.
Shouldn't
but
be
Ezra, he writes about leading
life,
a great
the
company
the
of people that we have around
Jerusalem,
us. As they had been exiled in Babylon, but had been
the permitted
that if God were
to
allow
him
to take away Job's possessions,
that, time to
that Job would in
to
turn
Israel
curse
that's
God.
That's got to be exciting, right? It's
as
like, yeah, you can return home.
Everybody's got to be opposed to
return
on. The king's name was Artaxerxes, and it was a dangerous trek that they would have to undertake. It would have been
our word.
But great Satan for them
that God
to have this army
Job
accompany them. Wouldn't you feel comfortable traveling somewhere
1, verse 10
with a
says,
massive army
have you
behind
not
you,
put a hedge around
knowing
him
that the trek that you're on is super dangerous?
I know I
you
would
have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are
this
spread throughout the land. That's
quite
amazing.
Decree.
Have you not put a,
and he gave
a hedge around him and his household
on
and
his
everything
departure
to Israel? This is telling us what Satan has tried to assault this man before. Only God had prevented Satan from doing anything.
I proclaim the fast
so that we might humble ourselves before God and ask Him for a safe journey for us and our children.
And the opposer,
he bumbled up and he reveals that he is weaker than God in this statement as well. And he reveals that God is faithful
because we had told those who trust in Him.
The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to Him. There,
but his great anger is against all who forsake Him.
Is it clearly should become obvious to us that God is there for us? He's faithful to us when we trust Him, and He is shielding us.
So when we look at these two scenarios and what happened to these men,
the matter of Job, of course, is put to the test,
and the hedge of Job is lowered ever so slightly,
and the oppressor begins to attack Job's possessions.
How does it impact us?
Job is still personally protected by God's hedge, of course.
We should be asking.
The opposer was not allowed to attack
them. Am I relinquishing any right
to the Lord hedge
for God's glory?
It led to the death of Job's family.
Because Abram,
livestock,
he had a right to the spoils
of
war.
All of Job's belongings are really
Ezra, he had a right to the soldiers if
Job
he had so
mourns
asked.
This and says in Job
but both, they would forfeit their rights.
Naked,
as their
I came from my
above
mother's
all
womb,
else
and naked I will depart.
The
God
Lord gave and the Lord has taken
glory.
Away. May the name of the Lord
they gave up
be
the rights
praised.
For God's glory.
What an amazing statement to make after losing
so chief
everything
end to bring God glory.
That was viewed as
and is it something that is more than an acknowledgement?
Losing his
lips.
Children.
Are losing his flocks
in your life.
And he still says, may
the name
here.
Of the Lord be
we
praised.
Sing songs, and our songs, they actually attach proper
and it should really shock us
to
as to what is said
for the most
in
part.
Job 1:22.
And it says, in all this,
God
Job did not
attributes.
Sin by charging God with
right.
wrongdoing.
But do we
lost
show
everything.
The world how great our God is by trusting in Him?
The music is great.
The songs are great.
Like
usually the words
everything.
Attached to the songs are great. But are we actually abiding
Satan.
By what we're singing?
He was proved wrong in his first accusation against Job.
Are we able
but
to show
that did not
that
stop him from
God.
Bringing another charge forward?
Or are we just singing nice songs?
As Satan quickly pointed out that Job valued his life even more than possessions.
Sing about God being omnipotent,
that,
which is all powerful.
That Job
but do we trust
himself
him
more
to protect
than
us in any situation, in any circumstance?
It was not
do
love
we trust God's
of
wisdom
God
as we call him omniscient?
It was
all-knowing.
And so in Job 2:5,
we
he
try
says
to
this,
see
but now
his
stretch
wisdom
out
in
your
all
hand and
strike
his flesh and
or
bones.
Do we just
and
pursue
surely
our own understanding
to your face.
And trust in that?
But was it a matter of health when it
you
came
confess
to Job
that God is spirit.
Maintaining faithfulness to the Lord?
We say that spiritual things
see,
will
the hedge
always
of protection
material things.
Was lowered even further.
That's something
that
Satan
has ever was permitted
seen in our
to
lives.
Assault our poor Job.
Our spiritual concerns
body.
Given a higher priority in our lives.
Of course, the opposer was not allowed to take Job's life.
Guess what I'm really asking is
the opposer, he took full advantage as
so
he afflicted Job with
account.
Boils, and Job would respond by mourning the day he was born.
Because in the end, it is those who
and yet we
to
still read this
God
in Job 2:10.
He replied,
forever.
You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble. In all this, Job did not sin in what he said.
Remember, I
time
read this
already
wife
Genesis
to kill himself
14, 22
after
to 24.
God.
But Abram said to the king of Sodom, with raised hand I have sworn an oath
to
the Lord God Most High,
Job,
creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread
Job
or the strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich.
He still
I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten
the
and the share
praised.
That belongs to the men who went with me.
He
the
had like boils
and
all over
let
his
them
body.
Have
I
their
imagine.
Share.
That would be very pleasant.
There's an interesting word that is repeated in these verses.
May the name of the Lord
and
be
this
praised.
Will probably catch you off guard.
We are God's.
But it is the
Job
word
was.
Nothing. And God is our protector from Satan. He's
this
our protector
is how
from our enemies.
Abram
and Satan is
in
his commitment to God. There is no room for misunderstanding.
Sometimes things
what he's trying
in our
life, they occur in order
here.
To bring about spiritual victory.
Tells the king
and
that he would not take a thread from
tragedies.
A linen or even the ties for sandals.
We respond like Job.
That's quite a bold statement to make.
We have God as our shield.
And this is all sworn before God as Abram gives his oath. And he stands
and
by it.
Do. Is this something our churches in North America
are
capable
the church
of?
That does that. Because it's easy to say that we're committed to the service of Jesus Christ. It's easy to say that we're committed to one another. That's part of being in church and in fellowship.
1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation is overtaking you except what is common to mankind.
But is this something that people are showing?
And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
20% of people are doing 80% of the work.
Two things stand out in this text. The first being that no temptation is going to come into your life that is too strong for you.
In churches.
We're promised by God that we will never experience temptations that cannot be overcome. I want to take this time to remind everyone. You know what that means? That means that sex, pornography, lying, drugs, alcohol, manipulation, or gossip. All those temptations, which are extremely addictive, and they're extremely overwhelming,
they cannot exalt the one who is our Savior.
Because God has given us outs.
See,
God knows.
A problem has occurred in our churches, and that is we began placing programs above people.
He wants to help us overcome
that. That's not okay.
A simple
in actuality, because
temptation
we need to be placing
this thing
people above programs.
When temptation rears
yes,
its ugly
programs
head,
are
I
fine
say
and all, but
we
need to be committed to people. We need to be committed
to
one another.
I know this is how God has helped me in overcoming my addictions to pornography.
It takes support and encouragement.
I identify my triggers for this addiction, and,
need to be
and when I
to
feel those triggers
first,
begin to flare, I seek out Jesus immediately, and he aids me in my struggles.
I pray that one day we all have a heart for the person sitting next to us. And
Paul
no,
also points out that God always makes
a way for
us
to
bear up
to
under temptation.
That
we have created this new problem with temptation.
Usual.
It's a habitual one.
We pray that
as when temptation comes to us, we don't look for escape from it anymore.
Become a successful follower
instead,
of Jesus
we become
Christ.
Fixated or fascinated with the temptation.
Takes
we're
kind of
like the deer in the headlights, just staring there at it, being like,
ooh.
And it all starts by being totally and completely committed to Jesus Christ.
We have to break this habit. We have to look to God. We have to seek out his provided opening for our escape from any temptations.
Because it's
there.
Men can't
cry.
We just need to
look
for it.
Men can't say to one another, I think you're getting
enamored with the temptation.
Thank you, Kyle, for doing fantastic work.
You actually
because then you
move
from
people
strength
probably
to strength
during
this pandemic.
You fully know that God is our shield.
You have been faithful to Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
God is also our shield to bitterness.
You fought this battle well on his behalf.
That's an interesting one.
Philippians 1:12 says, now I want you to know,
heart.
Brothers and sisters, that
I
what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Can you imagine that? Paul rejoices in knowing that his suffering is advancing the gospel.
I wish you were either one or the other.
So because you are lukewarm,
unbelievable.
Hot
what
nor
a
cold,
mindset to have to think that, okay, when
life.
God, when I'm experiencing any sort of suffering,
kind of
that I can help God in bringing the word of Jesus Christ to other people.
Really,
I
what
find
we should
this
be pulling
out a lot
from
this
missionaries
is we need to be
their
committed
lives.
To Jesus.
They're out there serving, they're doing just amazing things, and they are suffering at times.
But of course,
the way hills with the earthquake
commitment
stuff,
to him,
that was pretty amazing if you were here and able
and
to listen
about
to what
his
they
glorification
were saying,
cannot
like,
wow,
be done in our own strength. Let's get God advancing in there. And
we
and
see it in our story of Abraham
mindset.
As he acknowledged
there's
no
a story
debt to
of a
woman or
a husband
of the plague,
who were missionaries
but he
in Pakistan.
Did acknowledge his debt.
They were sent home
to God.
Suddenly in the middle of their service. And they ended up in Portsmouth,
he gave Melchizedek
Virginia.
His first
while
portion of the
Portsmouth,
spoils, again,
which he ended up keeping none of it.
17-year-old boys attacked
not
their
a thing.
Son.
They beat this boy
imagine
with a
imagine just emptying out your
broke,
bank account and giving it to,
his face
to some
neck.
King
and all vision
some other person
was lost
right,
in the boy's
just,
right
it's
eye.
Mind-boggling.
And 90% was gone.
That Abram
wouldn't
keep any wealth
and
for
the
himself.
Gang would be sentenced by
even
the courts.
Right.
But throughout the course of the trial,
Abram,
the
he was able
of
to
the
grow strong
and
refused
stay strong as he
to
had
allow
a strong
bitterness
relationship
to overtake
with
them
God.
And even indulge
so it takes a strong relationship in our own lives with God
to just
to bring
seeing
about there blind, pretty much, and getting bitter
commitment to him.
And indulging in disappointment.
Remember that this is a guy that's still
they
waiting
gave a Christian witness
for all these
to the gang,
to
and when interviewed, the mother said,
fruition
if
in his
necessary,
life.
We can live with
he's
the physical handicap.
He's waiting for a child that he's been promised, but we've got to
be heartbreaking,
live
and he's seen
with
no fruit there. Isn't that something that we've allowed to invade? Because he's
worlds.
A man that drew
we
close bitterness to overtake us.
We've
forgotten about the fruit
and because
of
the
Spirit
this,
and the
worldly
joy and
stuff,
the love
it had
and the
no
peace
effect
and the
on
his kindness,
when you
gentleness,
are in right relationship
with God,
control,
the world,
all those
things
will not affect
we forgot
you
about
them
all, and we just enveloped
Abram, he was blessed
by God, so he did not
this
need the world's
me this
blessing.
Way, or this is impacting me this way. This person did this to
you,
me, or whatever it happens to be.
Each and every one of you are stuck in a world that seems eternally bitter towards one another. And all I have to do is spend 2 minutes on, like, Twitter or something like that. And
you know what I find pretty cool in Genesis 14? I don't know. I can't really say that
one of those kind
of
moments where, like,
helping in that area.
I sadly just noticed this, even as a pastor.
Allow God to shield us from
that
bitterness.
But Melchizedek, he brought something to his
meeting with Abram
to change our hearts.
You want to know what it was?
We can live with physical handicaps.
Bread and
or
wine.
Spiritual ones.
Just interesting, not with bitterness.
Bread and wine.
Then, the messianic vibes coming from this
I'm just reminded of what
is even
happened
more
in Genesis 15 here. As God says, do not be afraid,
like
Abram, I am your
We're
shield.
Reminded of what communion is to us and
He's
how the
shield.
Elements are symbolic of the most
But that's not the only thing that was promised
communion
in our
with God.
Right? Jesus Christ.
God tells Abram,
bread is the symbol for life. We read in John 6:50.
Not be afraid.
But here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die.
Reward.
God is the source of life.
Abram, he had
wine,
defeated
of course,
the four
is the symbol
kings.
Of joy.
And shortly after was met by Melchizedek, the priest.
Wine that gladdens human
Salem.
Hearts. Oils to make
and Abram, he would tithe to him as he was a
bread
priest.
That sustains their
right,
heart.
Because that's
God
what you did back in those days.
God is the source of joy.
While the rest of the spoils of war, it would be returned
John 11,
to
the king of Sodom.
Says, Jesus
of
said to her, I am the
resurrection
and the life. The one who believes in
the
me
spoils
will
of battle,
live,
it went to the victor's
die. John chapter 17,
it was a badge of honor. It was
of their coming to sacrifice.
All
of these
could have been kept
by Abram, but he forfeited
those spoils.
So that they may have the full measure of my joy within them.
And this is where God reminds Abram of true reward.
And many times
as he informs Abram, I am your great reward.
God himself promises
that he is Abram's reward.
When he gives reward,
I am really struggling with
this
my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance
of me. Reward as well.
In the same way after suffering
more than ever, we need to be reminded that God is
our reward.
Do this. He stands strong.
Whenever you drink,
he's powerful.
In remembrance of
he is our shield. And he protects us from our enemies, from Satan, from temptation,
John
from bitterness.
Writes,
and on top of that, he gives himself to us.
These are the of righteousness and peace.
And when their
eternal
life
the
and the inheritance
king
of the
of
Son
righteousness and king of peace
is given to us.
Given in royal fashion.
Romans 8:17 says,
no
now if we are children, then
the
we are heirs,
we
heirs of
life,
God and co-heirs with Christ.
If
indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share
might be
in
full.
His glory.
We are
co-heirs
for Melchizedek
with Christ.
Abram's meet up.
What a reward to receive.
So Abram drew upon God's
as his
life
inheritance
and
joy
is also ours.
As Melchizedek brought these items to their meeting.
You know, like Abraham.
This is something
we're
that
have
we
bad
need to
days.
Do as well.
We're going to have bad.
We need to draw on God's life.
A lot of times where
God's
we feel
joy.
Alone, as though we're strangers.
If we leave God at an arm's length, then the
world's
temptation, they're going to easily snatch us. They're going to ensnare us. That's
but
not a full commitment, and so we're just going to get pulled away by the world.
God is there.
What if we're
He's
filled
our
by
shield.
God? He is our
we're
reward.
We're filled with his Holy
and
Spirit.
He is hoping
and
that
he
we
overflows
will see
from our life.
And remember this
then there's
and acknowledge
nothing. There's no room for
it.
Anything else in our lives.
So we need to seek his protection.
We won't be affected in the same fashion. It won't
faith.
Have that pull on us. Because
God
we are already full.
Is our shield.
So we need to have that
shield.
Full commitment. We need to ask.
We need to remember that.
For the Holy Spirit
in our life.
To fill
especially
us
when we're out amongst the community.
And overflow.
And we're trying to just love on them.
And let them know
commit
who
to
he
Jesus
is.
And how he is our protector.
Allow him to strengthen you as you give glory
today
to God.
Today is
in your
communion day to be like
so I'm
going to
ask Tyler and Shane to come up.
We need to strive.
Prepare to hand out the
to
elements.
To be like Christ.
Can I get someone maybe like Neil? Eventually, I'll have you take some down to our Sunday school teachers, if that's okay. We want to include them. We don't want them to feel left out. So if you could just take it when the guys are done handing it out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we remember what these elements represent today. And for those of you who are more comfortable with those packages, you just grab them. They're in the center of our communion stuff. They got the bread on top and the drink underneath. So we'll hand out the elements, all of them, and then we'll start with the bread, obviously, first, then the drink, and then we'll start our communion together. Join me in prayer as we do this and pray for the elements. Father, we thank you so much for all that you continue to give us, and we thank you for your son's sacrifice. In a time where we as a country remember sacrifice of our soldiers, we too also need to acknowledge the sacrifice of our son, of your son, of our Savior. So we remember the broken body on the cross. We remember the blood that was shed as he was beaten before being thrust up on the cross. As he died, as Jesus died there, a spear was thrust in his side. Think of that sacrifice and how you took the sins of us, the world, upon your shoulders while you're on that cross. Thank you for all you do, Jesus. Here.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in
So on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. It's the This is my body was broken for you. And he took the wine, said, "This is the blood that has been spilled for you. Drink it in remembrance of me." We take these as a symbol. It's a in remembrance. I know for some of our younger people, we don't always get taught that in Sunday school. I'm very thankful that we are not a different theological denomination. Otherwise, that would be interesting, consuming the stuff that fell on the floor. As I head out and prepare for the vacation time, I just want to thank you all and let you know that I do love you very much. And I can't wait to get back and fellowship with you all again. And like I say, I'm always open for anything. If you need hang out, I would even hang out on my vacation. I'm boring. But anyways, I do want to remind you guys that God is our shield. And I want us to remember that, especially in light of evangelism. That was a heartbreaking article to read. About 65% churches not even carrying it out. I don't want to be that one of those churches. I want to be a church that spreads Jesus' name out there. It's a great commission. It's what we're told to do. And so if you ever need some help with equipping, my office is always open. We can talk about anything. I'll help prepare you in a certain way if you need a more focused thing than from up front. And I want to get my teachings, obviously, from the front, being ones that can equip us to share the gospel message, because that's what our church should be doing. So let's do that. God is our shield, and let's go spread the message. Have a great week.